Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into Redacted on this Wednesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we try to cover the stories the corporate media largely ignores, buries, or suppresses. And we've got a lot of stories tonight in the show that we are going to dive deep into that the mainstream media is ignoring. We're going to talk about what Ukraine said over the past 24 hours about the war, which is, number one, hey, no more media is allowed to cover the front lines of this war. Media blackout. Again, doubling down. So journalists who wanted to maybe go to the front lines, if they were sort of pro-Ukrainian, you know, outlets like the BBC and CNN and all that stuff. Sorry, you're off limits now. You're not allowed to go. What are they hiding? Also, they're saying World War III has officially begun and the amount of soldiers now in Ukraine has dwindled down where they're now needing to recruit women. Forget men. Ukraine needs women to fight this war.
Okay. You still support that? Think twice about it. Plus a new bill in California. Oh. Good question.
Yes, exactly. If you're not familiar with that point, we covered a few weeks ago here on the show how, yes, women prostitutes are basically being handed out and given to the men in hospitals if you're injured. Like, that's a service they provide. That's the Ukrainian military service.
I also wonder if they get maternity leave. We need to send in Norma Rae, right?
Yeah, all of that.
Okay. Also, a new bill in California would fine employers if they dare to say that they are going to confront shoplifters. In fact, most of the rules around what happens if you are a victim of shoplifting are redacted, are gone, are being taken away in California because they just can't handle it. They're basically throwing their arms up. I'm going to show you the edits to this bill, and it's unbelievable.
Also, we're going to deep dive the child trafficking concentration camps that are in the United States. This is an uncomfortable story. It's uncomfortable, and the mainstream media doesn't even want to touch it. Or if they've been handed these stories, they've been given these stories, and they've walked away from it. They're not going to touch it. We are going to deep dive this story tonight. I can't think of a bigger story in the United States than the tens of thousands of children that are kept in concentration camps and then are sent out to different Americans as sex slaves, as slaves, physical labor slaves, and even worse. If you can imagine worse, that's actually what's happening. We're going to cover all of that and more as Redacted starts right now. Chat just said, preppers, stand by. We've been prepared for this. Yeah, we have been, right? I mean, this is exactly why we prepare, why we can food, why we make sure we have a good water source. It's because exactly what these nutcases are doing with NATO. I mean, you literally have Antony Blinken flying into Ukraine today. Then you have the United States doubling down, going to offer another $1 billion to Ukraine.
Meanwhile, about to hit a debt ceiling. Just today, yeah. I was getting gas and I was like, I feel like I'm being messed with. Like, the reason this price is so high is because of politics, and I can do nothing about it.
Yeah, and, you know, and again, you see the attacks on the Berkey water filter system.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
You know, we use a Berkey water filter system in our house. They are not a sponsor of the show. We just love them. And, you know, again, so the EPA is changing their rules about what, it's crazy. Like, so they're going after preppers now. It's crazy. So thank you guys for joining us here. We try to navigate this clown world on this show and try to at least do it with a bit of levity and smiles as much as we can so we don't all go crazy. And we also have a daily newsletter, which you can read Monday through Thursday. By just going to redacted.inc and you sign up for it.
That's right. So redacted.inc, you sign up for a free newsletter. We send it every day that we do this show, Monday through Thursday. And it is a compendium of all the stories we talk about here, plus more. There are plenty more stories. We only can talk about four or five a day on the show. The newsletter has a lot more, and it's totally free. Plus, it's a great way to find links to the things that we talk about, because a lot of times we run through things. I know a lot of you say, I want to share that with my friends, but I didn't know where it was because you were just talking about it. So the newsletter is where to go to get as much original sourcing to this information as possible. A good thing to sort of save. I really, really, really try to make sure that the hyperlinks are good and useful to you. So please do check it out. We work really hard on it every Monday through Thursday, redacted.inc.
That's right. All right. Well, let's talk about World War III, which has apparently just begun, according to the Ukrainians. And today, Putin said that the U.S. is forcing this fight until the very last Ukrainian is dead. Is he wrong? Like, I'll just ask you guys, is Putin wrong about that? That this is the United States forcing this fight? Is any nutcase out there who believes that the United States is not involved in this or is not complicit in this at all? They are literally forcing this. We're going to get into Antony Blinken in a second. Ukraine has run out of men and now is turning to women to fight this war. More on that part of the story in a minute as well. But first, Ukraine says World War III has already begun. And again, we've been saying it for a year now. So welcome to the party, pal. Yes, we are already in World War III. Just wait until the real fighting starts. So here is the headlines here. The head of Ukraine's National Security Defense Council has claimed World War III is already underway, with the Moscow-Kyiv conflict pulling in countries far beyond the region. Speaking at the Kyiv Security Forum on Tuesday, Alexei Danilov argued that NATO needs Ukraine as a member of the global turbulence is set to continue. We're going to strengthen the alliance, he says. If someone thinks that World War III hasn't started, then it's a huge mistake. It has already begun, and it had been underway in a hybrid period for some time, but now it's about to get much, much worse, according to him.
Hybrid period. What do you think that means?
I mean, I think where we're still acting as if like a proxy, you know, where the United States and NATO can sort of still act, use Ukraine as a proxy to funnel weapons in, and we use up all of their men. But the sad part is, of course, now, which we're going to get to in a second, all their men are gone. So what's left then is NATO to step in with their own forces, their own people manning these devices, instead of the Ukrainians. So that's coming. I think that's what maybe he's acknowledging, that this hybrid period. Let us know in the chat what you think, what a hybrid period means. I think it's like one foot in proxy war and one foot in actually being there on the ground. But let us know what you think about that. But Western support for the war is fading quickly. And we see that. We see that in the UK. We see that across Europe. We see that in the United States. And that's why America's errand boy, Antony Blinken, showed up in Ukraine today. Because despite what you voters think about the war, and you absolutely don't want us to be funding this and people dying, it doesn't matter, because the deep state absolutely wants this to continue. So Antony Blinken shows up there, doubles down on support for Zelensky today. And, you know, he's there to basically say, we will be here and support until every Ukrainian has been killed. And then American companies will come in and buy up all the land and all the minerals and turn your country into a garrison state for the United States. That's what Antony Blinken...
Well, that's you reading between the lines, I assume.
Oh, he didn't actually say that.
Okay.
He said something... He didn't say that exactly, but we know that's why he was there. But here's actually what he did say. Watch.
I'm here first and foremost to demonstrate our ongoing and determined support for Ukraine as it deals with this aggression. We've seen good progress in the counteroffensive. It's very heartening. We want to make sure that Ukraine has what it needs not only to succeed in the counteroffensive, but has what it needs for the long term to make sure that it has a strong deterrent, strong defense capacity, so that in the future, aggressions like this don't happen again. And we're also determined to continue to work with our partners as they build and rebuild a strong economy, a strong democracy, all of which is necessary to ensure that Ukraine not only survives, but it thrives in the future. And in that, Ukraine has a strong partner in the United States. And for me, it's always a special pleasure to be with, again, not only my colleague, but my friend, Dmytro Kuleba. We've been...
Yeah. So And he's like, don't touch me. Anyway, so he says, good progress. I want to underline that point. So
yeah, that point kind of floored me. I had to pick my jaw up off the ground because the counteroffensive to keep going well.
Yeah, yeah. Good progress in the counteroffensive, he says. So let's just be clear about this. Ukraine sacrificed tens of thousands of men to take an abandoned village from where the Russians had already evacuated and evacuated civilians. They removed all the civilians, and that's good progress. So now they have an abandoned village, and thousands of Ukrainians died to get it. That's good progress.
And they have not moved the map at all.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I think it's the sum of the whole. He's not just talking about that part of it. He's talking about the part where they have gone in and bought up properties and stuff. It's the sum of the whole. It's been very successful for, you know, U.S. companies
and war contractors.
And
yes.
BlackRock and Vanguard
progress
and so
for
forth.
His customers,
yeah, exactly.
Western global elites.
That makes
sense. Yeah. For them.
So that is good progress, yeah. Or maybe the good progress he's actually talking about this. He stopped by one of many brand new cemeteries in Ukraine. Here's a fresh cemetery. He's like, this is progress. You guys are building things. I see innovation here. You guys are building graves like more closely together, and you've like lined paths with flowers. Like your innovation and progress of building cemeteries, you guys have some of the best technology advancements we've seen in the world. Your cemetery advancement projects are progress.
That is a shocking image. To think about how much responsibility the West has for those graves.
Yeah. He just walks. How do you, piece of shit, just go in there, lob another $1 billion at this, and then have the audacity to walk down rows of dead soldiers that you are responsible for? You are responsible for this. You are responsible for these people dying for your proxy war. How do you do this and say that the progress is great? And I'm here to see my friends.
And here's another, you know, $1 billion so you can have more cemeteries.
Yeah.
Basically.
Oh, and they're building them. They're building them at a clip that they've never seen before in Ukraine. So, and just to put this in like a finer perspective here, the amount of money that we are spending right now on this conflict. If you're wondering like, what, where's the money going to Maui? Where's the money going, you know, $700 going to families in Maui right now. Ukraine's conflict spending is $100 million per day from the United States. $100 million per day.
I mean, that's up 100% because we know that in 2014 and 2015, the International Monetary Fund was warning Ukraine, stop spending $1 million per day bombing the Donbass. It's not a good use of your money. It's not a good use of our money because we're lending it to you. So if you want to keep borrowing from the IMF, you must stop spending $1 million per day on this war. Well, again, now they're up 100%.
Beam in the chat says redacted will be Kremlin's new propagandist. No, we're just telling the truth here. We don't support war of any kind. I don't think war is ever a solution. An invasion is never a solution, right? But right now, NATO is making this happen by all accounts. This is NATO's war. This is the whole reason we're here. This is NATO's war.
Well, and to be fair, where my mind goes, you know, we've seen so much propaganda when we saw the fake bodies on the street, you know, as they're driving by, they're showing these bodies. And then as the car's pulling away in the mirror, you see the body get up and start to walk away. We don't even know if these graves are real. This could have been a photo op that they just set up, you know what I mean? Like just to garner support, because look at all these dead soldiers and everything. It's like, we don't even know what is going on over there. Like,
they're
giving those people proper burials.
What does that garner? Like when you see...
Well, hold this thought.
It tells us. Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, I was going to say, go ahead. Finish your thought there.
Well, I was just going to say, it tells us, like, people that are over here seeing it over there, like, oh my gosh, look at all those soldiers they're losing. We got to do something. We have to help them. It garners support for people that are on the side of what's going on, what they think is going on over there.
It's an interesting point. And I think put a pin in that for a moment, because as Natalie says, we're going to circle back to that. We're going to circle back because... The BBC has just done a big report on the amount of graves in Ukraine. And so we're going to show you that. And so it is interesting that we're starting to see more and more, like we're seeing photo ops in front of grave sites now.
Yeah.
On the part of the West.
And anyone who wants to call us a Kremlin propaganda, this is not the place for you if you're the kind of person who needs to reduce your thinking to good and bad. So I'm sorry, this is not the place that, like, you have to think that Russia's the bad guy in order to support Ukraine. You can't see the bad things that Ukraine has been doing for the last decade. You can't see that if Russia leaves that place, those civilians there will continue to be attacked at the price of $1 million per day. So I'm not pro-Russia, but I definitely don't want those civilians to continue to be attacked as they have been for the last 10 years. And if that means that saying that that's uncomfortable is pro-Russia, just go. Just get out of here. We don't want any reductive thinking here that you can't handle nuance. Bye. Yeah.
All you have to do is do a search on Google still and go pre the Russian thing, the pre 2020 or whenever that was, and you can find all kinds of articles on what Ukraine was doing. But those of all, they don't talk about it now, but previously, if you Google it, it's all still there. You can see what Ukraine has been doing for the past 14 years to the Donbass.
Yeah, you have to choose who dies here, right? Russia's holding the line so those civilians stop dying. If they leave, it's back to bombing those civilians, and worse, it will be worse for those people. And so we are, so now Russia is throwing those men, or I'm sorry, Ukraine is throwing those men against the line like a fly zapper, and they're dying for no reason. That line can hold. It can be over right now if peace talks were attended, which the West refuses to do.
Now, if that commenter was making the point that Russia might end up using what we're talking about here in a way that maybe ends the war, great. Then great. That would be amazing, but that's not going to happen. NATO doesn't give a rat's ass about, you know, about these men being killed. So that doesn't matter at all. These grave sites are fantastic for NATO because it's accomplishing exactly what NATO wants, which is every Ukrainian to be killed, basically, and to turn Ukraine into another version of the United States, a garrison state for expansion. That's all they want. Of course, that's it. That's all they want. Meanwhile, the Western media is being banned from the Ukrainian government, by the Ukrainian government, from covering the war on the front lines. Now, they don't want you to see how bad it actually is. According to Swiss journalists, the blackout on Ukrainian front lines is real. So the Ukrainian general staff has banned journalists from accessing combat zones. So you can't go. You want to see what's going on there, you're not going to be able to see it. And according to the Swiss newspaper, the news spread like a powder on Sunday, arousing anger and indignation among many journalists present in Ukraine. The front line is now totally forbidden to them, unless, of course, they have written authorization from Zaluzhny, the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. So you literally, it's like, you'd have to get like, it's almost like their version of Mark Milley would have to like sign a letter and say, yes, you, the BBC, can go and cover it. So imagine what kind of coverage you will get from the Ukrainian side on the front lines of this war. Zero or highly propagandistic. Totally. I mean, this is exactly what CNN, by the way, admitted. They wanted to admit it about a year and a half ago. They admitted that they are not allowed to go to the front lines. They have to get special permission. And they did this report where they said, well, CNN got special permission to accompany blah, 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 the tank brigade in Ukraine on the front lines to see what these guys are going through. And they did this whole propaganda. So, of course, it was highly choreographed, highly produced, and CNN, they were able to see what they allowed CNN to see. That's it. Highly produced. And now you won't see anything on that side. So, you know, it's very important for the journalists that we feature here on this show who are actually there being able to get information in the Donbass to show you what's actually happening, because you're not going to see it.
Well, I am looking forward to Zelensky's highly produced, demo reel of after his visit with Antony Blinken. So anytime a famous or powerful person comes and visits him, we've shown you these highly produced sort of episodic, you know, emotional heartstrings pulling. So you can find those pretty easily on Zelensky. So that's the kind of media we'll get, highly produced propaganda.
So mass graves.
Well, I want to point out too, just really quick, that I think it's a good indication that we don't actually, like, the United States doesn't actually support Ukraine, because if they did, if they were all in with Ukraine and actually supported them, wanted to help them, they would have put them in NATO, and they still haven't done that. And that should be a sign right there that they don't, you know, that's, they don't want to give, they only want to give them money.
No, that tells you everything you need to know, right? We will use you. Like, we are going to use you and your country and your people to antagonize Russia and to try to degrade Russia and get what we want, which is an expanded I don't know, proxy, you know, but we're not going to actually add you into NATO. That's all you need to know right there. So massive grave sites can be seen across Ukraine, where estimates now have close to 500,000 dead on the Ukrainian side. The Ukrainian government is getting desperate. They put out a call for men of fighting age to return home to fight in Ukraine. We covered this story yesterday in Poland, where they're leading the charge on this. The Poles are trying to figure out how they can maybe help round up 80,000 that are still there and send them back to be killed in Ukraine. Over 3 million men have fled Ukraine, according to numbers that I'm seeing today, and they do not plan to come back. Like, we're not going back there. 3.3 million. So why would you go back to die for NATO? Why would you do that? Also, BlackRock can buy out the land from right under your family's feet. Going back to fight for your family farm that's now totally gone and bought up by the likes of these American massive corporations. Ukraine is sending out letters to these men who fled to other parts of Europe now, saying, we know where you are. Here's a letter. We found you. We know exactly where you are. Come back to fight for us or face arrest. Here's a young Ukrainian man today who just received this letter in the mail. And I'll translate. He says, friends, in short time, I don't know what to do.
F-word.
In short, I just received this letter in his hand. Here it is. It has my photo on the paper. I translated it, he says. It says that Ukraine has sent a request. According to the Ukrainian authorities, I entered the territory of the European Union illegally. Although I was traveling legally, he says, I entered legally. I didn't buy any certificates here, he says. I told you how I left. And it says here, I have to leave the European Union within 2 weeks. I have to leave Europe within 2 weeks. That's it. Otherwise, I'll be forcibly exiled to the territory of Ukraine. I don't even know what to do, he says. Maybe you could tell me in the comments, he says.
I mean,
can you imagine?
I would look up on Yandex Maps how to get to Belarus or Russia. That's what I would do if I was him. Because
are you going to see like an influx of like, yeah, that.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how safe they would be there, but I do know that the temperature is rising to extradite these men into Ukraine because Europe has signaled and continued to signal that this is what it will do, whatever the United States wants. And this is what Ukraine is doing. Now, interestingly enough, you know, Ukraine is, it's just so amazing to remember a year ago how much these European countries were congratulating themselves for opening borders to Ukrainians. I can't believe that now there would be anything official saying you're not supposed to be in Europe. I mean, Zelensky thanked every European leader for accepting our people. The West, the United States, even Mexico made it easy for Ukrainians. So now we're saying, actually, no, you can't be here. I mean, they're almost, you know, we were so upset that like, oh, you know, it doesn't seem fair that they jumped the line in refugee services. But now you're almost better off being a refugee from a different place with darker skin, because at least you're not being sent back to fight. This is insanely terrifying.
I saw someone in the chat on YouTube said, he was giving advice to this young man. He said, just ignore the letter. They can't arrest you in another country.
They can.
They absolutely can.
Well, that was my question. Like when, in that letter, when it says they're going to forcibly remove it, does that mean that the Ukrainian government is able to say, hey, the European officials are going to come grab you and forcibly remove you on their bill? Or are they going to let Ukrainian soldiers into their country to go in and round these people up and take them out?
Well, no,
it'll be Interpol. I mean, that kid just said in that letter, he said, I translated it. He translated it because it wasn't in Ukrainian. It was in whatever language the country was in
It was in the local country in Europe that he was in. So it's Interpol, and it's the local authorities who will come and do it. Look, if it's now illegal for them to not be fighting, if you're of fighting age, and now we know that Ukraine has lowered the bar to, I mean, people with mental illness, people with tuberculosis, HIV, it doesn't matter. I mean, they're going to take any man they can that can walk, and probably some that can't even walk. And so if you're out of the country, it's illegal for you right now, and they're going to be sending out letters on behalf of Zelensky. You better come back and fight and die for NATO. That's exactly what's going to happen here. So if you're Ukrainian and you're watching this right now, this is the letter you're likely to receive. I mean, and I don't know where you go to seek like refuge right now. I mean, maybe Russia's the only place. I don't know if they, it'd be interesting to see what the United States does. Hey, we'll send you $1 billion. We'll do everything to support you. What about all the fighting age Ukrainians that are living in the United States right now? Mm-hmm. I mean, the tens of thousands of them that have now taken refuge there. Is the United States going to round them up and send them? You know, the United States open border policy? I mean, what's going to happen?
We know they were fast-tracked.
Yeah, they were
residency.
Given fast-tracked. They skipped over people. They skipped over people at immigration. I mean, so Ukraine has run out of men. Now they are turning to women. The same women who Zelensky yelled at a few weeks ago in that video where he, you know, saying, hey, you guys are partying in nightclubs and so forth. You're out of partying in the middle of like downtown Kiev, like nightclubs and these men and these mostly women. But, you know, we need you now to fight. So these young women who are up partying, we need you to fight.
They look fierce.
They look really fierce on the battlefield. They're going to be really, it's going to be a whole nother world when they're out now being forced to fight. So now Ukraine has released a brand new recruitment video today targeting women specifically. Watch.
Я просто жінка. Грішна і свята, слабка і сильна, сіра і яскрава. Я просто жінка. Просто жінка.
Feels like a trap, doesn't it? Like we promised them refugee, we promised them they could, they'd be safe here. And then now we know where they are and we're going to send them right back.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's a
subterfuge.
Nightmare.
Think about the training. Like they're just going to tell these women, hey, just see the little tip of this gun. You just point it towards somebody and then pull this little trigger. That's all you need to know. Like, think of how long it takes to train somebody to fight in a war.
No, I mean, it's unbelievable how much training it takes to, I mean, and in 6 weeks, like you think that's going to be enough? The 6 weeks.
And they're just going to be infantry, like no tanks, no, like that's all they're going to be, just meat?
Yeah, they will be meat going on these landmine fields, specifically to root out where these landmines are. Walk out there, and I heard reports about this today, that's how they're using a lot of these men. We need you to go out into these fields and clear these landmines. And that's how many of them are being killed. The BBC just published a great piece of journalism. Imagine that. And the number of war dead in Ukraine, about the number of war dead in Ukraine, it's staggering. Something the government surely is not happy about in the United Kingdom. But the BBC did this story anyway. And I just want to show you just a piece of this BBC documentary that they just released a few days ago about Ukraine's war dead. So that's why I asked you guys earlier to put a pin in this about the graves. These are all fresh graves. A lot of them are, you know, fresh graves. And they have multiple interviews with a lot of different family members who were there at the graves crying about like their son, their brother, their husband, who's dead now. And they're there, you know, right at their grave. So, you know, I don't think that these are fake personally. I mean, but I don't think that these are fake graves. And I think there's plenty of other intelligence to support the fact that these are not fake graves. But I get your cynicism, given the fact that we've seen other things faked in this. But here you go. This is the BBC. And watch this. Pretty amazing.
At cemeteries all across Ukraine, the military dead just keep coming. Here in Lviv, near the border with Poland, very far from the fighting on the Eastern Front, the fresh graves of soldiers number in their hundreds. There are so many, in fact, at this cemetery that up the hill here, they're clearing the way of the fallen from previous wars to make room for those lost in this conflict.
So they're moving bodies in old graves that I guess no one's around anymore. They've been there for 100 years. So we're going to move those bodies out of the way to make room for new bodies because we just don't have the space for it. So the amount of graves being built is amazing. Since this BBC report was prepared 9 days ago, as our friend of the show, Larry Johnson, wrote on his website, he said, quote, at least 7,000 more Ukrainian soldiers have died in combat. 9 days ago. That equals the number of killed in action American soldiers in all of Iraq and Afghanistan during the 16 years of fighting. 16 years. And in 9 days, the equivalency. Just put in perspective, he says, about the savagery of the combat that's currently underway in Ukraine. And we always want to remind you, this is the map. This is the live view map. Today's battles, today's fighting, today's explosions. This is as of about an hour ago. Explosions all throughout the Donbas in eastern, what was formerly eastern Ukraine. These people there voted overwhelmingly, I think over like 95% in vote to become part of Russia because they've been sick and tired of the genocide that's been unfolding there for the past, since 2014, after the failure of the Minsk agreements. And elections are coming up. Elections are about to happen once again. And so we will see what that looks like in this area. Remember, Ukraine tells us they can't have elections, but they're going to hold elections here, which has been under constant genocide for years. So, but this is the area that's that is contested. And Zelensky doubling down, basically saying, we need to return to pre-war Ukraine, or this doesn't end. That means Crimea. That means all of the Donbass.
And that western border you're seeing there, where the red turns to white, is what Antony Blinken says is the counteroffensive that's going well.
Good progress.
It has not changed since we started looking at this map at the beginning of the counteroffensive in the spring. It has been the same. So all those lives lost, no land gained, all those untrained lives lost. So now we're talking about if Russia leaves, those civilians inside who live inside that red area will again become attacked and terrorized by the Ukrainian army or what's left of it. And so, you know, it's a matter of protecting those civilians, but it's essentially civilians being thrown at the line. So it's civilians for civilians at this point, because those are untrained military men. We've shown you that footage as well. So it's an unbelievable tragedy. We absolutely should demand of our leaders that peace talks be agreed to right now, yesterday, and tell your local officials that you do not support sending your money to send these people to their deaths.
Yeah, I would love it if Ukrainians would actually watch and pay attention to what's actually happening, knowing that they're being used by NATO, exactly what's happening here to the last Ukrainian. Please subscribe to the channel. If you're new here, we are live every night at 4 p.m. Eastern time. We cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores, the mass media ignores, or they put a propagandistic spin on it, you know, with billionaires who will fund them. We are supported by you, so we are not supported by any billionaires. So thank you guys so much for subscribing, whether on Rumble, on YouTube, or live on both. We've got about 20,000 of you watching on YouTube and about 15 or so thousand over on Rumble and Twitter as well. So good to see all of you. I love the...
I would actually be curious if anybody is watching from the Ukraine, say that you're watching from Ukraine, because I see a lot of Russian viewers saying that and posting the Russian. I don't see many Ukraine. I'm just wondering if they block YouTube or something. I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah. Do you even have YouTube?
Our channel specifically?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I gave myself an attitude check when you played that Antony Blinken. I'm like, okay, don't be a jerk. Maybe he says something. And then I was just like, raw.
Then he goes to a cemetery. He's like, good progress. And hey, you want to go take a leisurely stroll through a cemetery this afternoon so I can see all the bodies NATO's responsible for? I just want to go see them. You know, I just want to, all of the money we're paying for these, you know, these new graves, I don't want to see them built in action.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the craziness that we're seeing right now.
I tried to give him a chance, but no.
Yeah, no.
You are a predicator of death.
We have more to come here on the show. We're going to talk about the shoplifting bill and why it's now basically legal to just go and shoplift wherever you want in the United States. Just go,
particularly California.
Yeah, California, just walk in any store you want, grab what you want, I guess. That's like what they're telling us now. And it's unbelievable to see what's happening in the United States. You're watching a civilization in decline. We're also going to talk about what's happening with the child trafficking story. This is a story you must see. I have an interview coming up here with a whistleblower who worked at one of these facilities. Well, a former Walmart facility that is now used as a child trafficking concentration camp. So we're going to cover that story because no one else will talk about it. We are going to cover it here on Redacted. That's coming up in just a few moments. But first,
we want to tell you about our friends over at Ghostbed, because if you're tossing and turning at night or waking up groggy, that's a sign you may need a new mattress. Thankfully, now is the perfect time to get one with Ghostbed's major Labor Day sale happening right now. Still going on, even after the Labor Day weekend, so don't wait. Ghostbed is a family-owned mattress company that's been making mattresses for over 20 years, and you can feel their expert craftsmanship when you lie down on one of their beds. They simply don't cut corners. customers. Every mattress in the Ghost Bed line is made with heat-wicking material, which means you'll stay cool and sleep well, even on those sweltering nights. Plus, you can purchase a bed confidently with Ghost Bed's free shipping and 101-night sleep trial. Most orders ship in 24 hours, so you can start sleeping better quickly. So don't wait. Take advantage of this limited-time sale. Go to ghostbed.com/redacted right now. You're going to get 40% off your mattresses. And again, this is the Labor Day sale. So head on over to ghostbed.com/redacted. Okay. Well, a California bill would fine small businesses $18,000 if employees stop shoplifters. So if you have anything in your manual that says that, you know, you need to keep your employees protected and safe, or we're going to show you later, you need to have an alarm system, or you need safety training or anything like that, you could get in trouble for that. And the state can fine you $18,000. You absolutely cannot say in your employee manual that your employees must confront shoplifters or stop them at all. You just kind of have to let them at it. The only thing it asks employers to do is keep a log of records like this. That's literally it. You can't stop them. You can't report it. You can't call the, you don't need to call the police. That's unnecessary. They just can't handle it. Don't call them. Write it in a log. Write it down in your book. They'll take a look at it later.
I saw some people stealing some iPhones this afternoon, and all right. And then I
that goes
then I went
in
to
the
lunch.
Book. That's an entry. So this was Los Angeles last month when dozens of thieves stole from a Yves Saint Laurent in broad daylight. Take a look. Now, these people are not at all worried about getting arrested because the likelihood of that is so low in California. So there are just so many of them stealing high-end merchandising. Now, you know, you have to wonder, where are they going with that? Who buys it from them at a discount? Why are they doing this? And why is this just so easy to do in California in broad daylight, right? Well, Alexandria, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says, well, you know, sometimes you have to steal because you have a family, you know, high-end bags and things like this. And you just
last night,
yeah,
I saw a video where people were taking 85, 65, 75-inch TVs out of Best Buy.
Yeah.
That is not to feed your kid.
Oh, yeah, I saw that video today, too. Yeah, they're just shoving it, and they got their shopping carts, and they're, like, just grabbing as many TVs as they can. And just, it's all for feeding your kids.
Yeah, watch what she has to say here.
And so they go out, and they need to feed their child, and they don't have money. So you maybe have to, they're put in a position where they feel like they either need to shoplift some bread or go hungry that night.
Yeah, that's
so
bread.
So, hey, you, if you have kids, and you're in a bind, why aren't you stealing?
Yeah.
You should be doing that because you're in that bind too.
If I saw people stealing, like if they were going in and legit stealing food and they were just taking like some meat and some bread and stuff like that, I almost could understand that. You know what I mean? But they're not. They're stealing handbags and TVs and Home Depot tools and stuff like that.
And so you're saying you would stop them if you were in a Home Depot and you saw that? And
Why? Because
you don't own Home Depot. Just, I want to know.
I think, as a good employee.
I guess it's the principle of it.
Yeah, like I
but feel. But no, if you're not an employee.
Like an agency. Oh, if you're not an employee.
Here's the
Clayton
thing.
Chased down here's a shoplifter on New York City for stealing linens, and he didn't.
Yeah, I was just walking by, and I saw this guy bust out of a store on, like, the Upper West Side?
Yeah.
Upper West Side. And he just, like, busted out of a store with, like, an armful of, like, brand new linens in his arm. And he just started running. And I started running after him. And the store owner, like, came out. And I was following the guy running after
the
guy.
And he's like, it's this guy.
And I ran right up to him. And I'm like, and he was, like, trying to hide. And he's like, you know, he's like, and I'm like, no, it's right here, you know. And anyway, I just ran after the guy.
Okay, but why? Like, why do that? It's not your linen store. Why do you care? David,
yeah, because like so I shop at Home Depot. I buy tools there. I buy things. And if enough people steal, what's going to happen? They're going to shut it down. And then I don't have a Home Depot anymore. So it's kind of like, you know, a place that I care about.
Yeah. Okay. And also there's just this idea that you want to live in a society where there are certain rules because it makes us all safer. right? And so if you can just steal, if you can just hurt people, then we're not better for it. Yeah, okay. I just wanted to know, like, how other people...
Also, I think it's just like a sense of justice. And maybe because as a kid, I wanted to be Batman. So I just have like this, you know, like, I think I still do, you know, like I have this sense of like, oh, I'm going to help. There's a store owner just got robbed and I'm witnessing it happen. And also I read Spider-Man, you know, the fact that he stood by and watched that guy escape and then killed his Uncle Ben. Right. I mean, you know, that's what happens. That's the age old story of Spider-Man, you know, with.
Okay.
Great responsibility. Great power comes great responsibility.
Right. There is such thing as altruism. Okay. Well, the California bill, let's get back to that, actually gives employers more power to issue restraining orders against their employees that they think have been violent or threatening. Because I guess that's the increasing problem, is like, deal with the violence inside your personnel. But when it comes to requiring employers to have a plan to keep employees safe, they're just striking all of that. Now, I just did a screen movie of all the things that are stricken from this bill since it was written in the 70s. And it's basically just don't do any of that. Like, don't, you know, provide a violence prevention plan. Don't provide assistance, you know, for don't have, you know, them report workplace violence. Don't, none of this. Like, we don't need this. We cannot handle it. Even if you report it to the state of California, we don't give two shits. Basically, none of that. Don't do it. Goes on and on. Here is where they strike that they can't even have a requirement for an alarm system anymore. No installing, implementing, and maintaining an alarm system or creating an effective means by which employees can be alerted to the presence, location, and nature of security threat. We can't do that. You're basically always at a threat, so why require it? They certainly don't have to train their employees for workplace crimes. All of that, nope, stricken. Again, this is the edits to the bill as it stands right now that lawmakers are signing off on. Like, yeah, let's get rid of that. That's fluff. We don't need it. Prepping for an active shooter, nope. They don't have to do that. That's also, you know, I don't need to be doing that. And definitely not reporting any incidents or preparing for shoplifters. Take a look at this. Now, you definitely cannot, this is the one that's being the most, that's getting maybe the most media. You cannot have any provisions for prohibiting the employer from maintaining policies that require employees that are not dedicated safety personnel to confront active shooters or suspected shoplifters. You can't have any rules that say that your employees engage with those people or stop them or confront them at all unless they are security personnel.
I think it's funny they're putting those two in the same category. Like an active shooter and a shoplifter.
Right.
Right.
Like that's,
yeah. I mean, you should not require your employees to confront an active shooter. Sure. Right.
No, I agree with that.
And I'm not even saying you should require them to confront a shoplifter, but maybe like, you must call the police. You must, you know, get the security alarm. You must, you know, put these safety measures in place. Like most of it is just not there. And what is replaced is you must keep a logbook, basically, that's accessible by the state. That's literally
I wonder if this,
it.
I wonder if this applies to banks. Like, you know, the classic trope of like hitting the alarm in case of a bank robbery. Is that like...
Right. Are you allowed to do that anymore? Yeah. Like hit the bell?
No, you can have it. It's that the state must not require it and the employee or the employer must not be required to do it. And an employer must not ask their employee to do it. And so, not even, in one of the edits we showed you, there's not even a requirement to call the police. Like, you don't even have to do that. You can, if you want to, you can have an alarm, but that's not now state employment protocol. This bill hasn't passed. It just passed the assembly, but that was a second hurdle. Again, this is part of opponents say, you know, oh, this will fine people from confronting shoplifters. It doesn't pertain to like you, the fellow citizen. So it's not like if Clayton was stopping this linens thief, he would be fined. He could be if he's the employer that his employees then are confronting the shoplifter, right? So that's nuance that we should keep in mind. Now, gas station owners especially are protesting this bill. Just last month, they showed up in California legislature saying that this bill will earn them just more shoplifters, even though it cleared the assembly. They say that it's just going to make us keep records of this and then invite more people to shoplift because they know we can't do anything about it. Now, it sure does seem, though, that theft is on the rise in progressive cities. The FBI has no official data on this because their crime stats for larceny only go up to 2019 or 2020. But we see in more progressive cities, videos like this are common. This is just, they're just taking stuff.
I actually witnessed that myself when I was in San Francisco. Somebody walked in, they just started throwing a bunch of razors and everything in their bags and then just walked out.
Yeah, and she even, like, she gave a peace sign to the camera because she knows there'll be no consequence. And in fact, my cousin Martha had this exact same thing happen to her in a CVS. And she said the people came in and they had a big shopping bag. And she was like, oh, that's strange. Maybe they're just doing inventory. So she didn't think much of it. And then everybody else was kind of like this. And they just let him, like, pull off the chapsticks and the Tylenol and all of the stuff, right? And then she's like, oh, well, maybe I'll take a picture of them in the car, because she had her phone out. So she did that. And when the cops came, they're like, oh, no, that's probably a fake license plate. We don't need those pictures. They're probably worthless. Like, their attitude is basically, there's not much we can do about this. It just happens. And in fact, a friend of the show, told us that their son, who lives in Oakland, had to drive an hour the other day looking for a Band-Aid because every CVS had no Band-Aids. They'd just been totally looted because he cut himself. And so that's another reason to, you know, want to deter shoplifting, even if you don't own the CVS. But also, you know, the economy of this is that it means prices are higher for us.
And it's also really, really good for companies like Amazon. You know, crime up. Hey, you know what? Don't even bother going out of your house. Live in your 15-minute city, and we'll just deliver packages by drone right to your front door. You need Band-Aids? We'll get them there in an hour now, because we can do that.
Yeah.
You don't need to drive to a CVS.
Someone will steal them off your porch, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, true.
Packages off your porch.
Yeah.
Now, this is how supermarkets and drugstores are dealing with this, and you may have already seen this in your local neighborhood. Watch.
Don't look for detergent on these grocery store shelves. There are none to grab.
So you can't keep your Tide on the shelf.
How bad is the shoplifting here?
It's bad.
We've seen it at pharmacies, so much stuff under lock and key, all in effort to fight the shoplifting epidemic, and scenes like these. But now supermarkets are embracing the anti-shoplifting campaign. At Morton Williams in New York City, this sign says it all. Please contact a manager or an employee if you wish to purchase this item. Where are those things kept? Behind the register. Want aspirin? The cashier has to unlock the glass case to grab the medicine. Thieves are also targeting ice cream and meat. Who could forget the guy allegedly stealing all those steaks at a Trader Joe's in Manhattan?
Walmart now has the steak locked up.
People are taking this and putting it in their purse, just like that.
And walking right out.
Some supermarket chains are reporting a whopping 30% rise in shoplifting.
So if they're, it's you and I that's paying the extra costs on these thefts.
Morton Williams is also beefing up security. This guard is posted front and center for everyone to see.
Wearing a mask.
Look, and we have cameras, and they still find the blind spot to be able to conceal the merchandise.
So get ready to see more shelves like these, empty of products you want to buy. They're not out of stock. They're just hidden away.
I wonder if that reporter then took that steak back out of her purse.
Yeah.
I was going to just say the same
thing.
Wow, she's pretty brazen.
She got, see, well, look, I, as a reporter, I can steal right on camera and no one will stop me.
And then it turns out the guy she's talking to is the only authorized person in the store to tackle somebody.
Right.
Takes her down.
Yeah.
See my black eye as a result of trying to steal this steak.
Yeah. Now, incidentally, I'm going to bring you this fun little story, little historical tidbit, because this is how grocery stores used to work back in the days of the general store, where you would go in, tell the clerk the things you wanted, like 3 pickles out of the jar, you know, a pound of grain or what have you. And then they would pull it down from the shelves, like in Willy Wonka. Remember this guy? Like, you couldn't get candy. You had to ask the candy man and he would get it for you. And then you'd check out. Remember?
Probably did this because those thieving kids with their little sticky hands.
Yeah. And do you know how we went from that until now? The reason we even have shelves that we can take things from ourselves is progress in canning and cardboard. Because when cardstock was invented, it made boxes boxes possible. And when that happened, it all became clear that consumers could then pick things off the shelves because all products were the same. That wasn't the case before. You could go to the local store and you'd see the, you know, little Jimmy there. You'd be like, no, I want the biggest pickles, not those, you know, give me those. And now everything's the same because they're all in a jar. This comes from Benjamin Lohr's book, The Secret Life of Groceries. And he has this fascinating story about the history of the cardboard box and how that came to give us grocery store aisles in the first place. I brought this graphic. It doesn't look good on your screen. I apologize. I do this all the time.
This is her book report hour.
Read us the book, okay. Natalie.
For the next hour, sit back, grab a pile of popcorn.
It's there, and I'm going to paraphrase. So a man from Brooklyn named Robert Geyer is the person who invented these foldable boxes, and his first client was the National Biscuit Company, a.k.a. Nabisco. And so they made an order, and he wrote them back and said, you know, you can't just put these in a box and then sell them in a store. You should have some kind of label or brand on it. And he said, you need a name. So they came back and they came with the name, You Need a Biscuit, which is Nabisco. You need a biscuit. You see it written there? Maybe you don't. It says, all of these individually wrapped products beget something even more precious to us, which is choice, which is a synonym for control, which is what we don't have now. In a world without boxes, lit with all these insignias, there's little need for a consumer to touch anything. And suddenly the cardboard box, you know, made us think that going to the general store was a waste of our time, and we grew suspicious of the clerk behind the counter. Is he cheating me with his scales? Is he otherwise shortchanging us? So this suspicion became why we have grocery stores and things in packaging. The result in 1916 is the next lurch towards the grocery store itself, which is self-service and choice. Now, we blew it, though, collectively. Like, we are collectively losing the privilege of choice and control because we cannot combat shoplifting. And so something that was given to us as a gift, as like a way that we control our lives, is being taken from us collectively. We have lost that privilege. This is why we can't have nice things.
I bet all the people that lost their hands back in the old days are rolling in their graves right now.
Oh, for shoplifting?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they just were in the wrong era.
They lived in the wrong time. It's like I said last night, Jeffrey Epstein, he died a few years too early now.
Okay, but that's not past tense. I think, is it Singapore you still can... And certain Middle Eastern countries, you can get caned and things. And so that's why they have so little petty theft. I'm not advocating that.
Caned in like 3 years in prison.
There's something to be said, and then other people can buy their detergent off the shelf.
I did recently see an article about, it was a shop owner, I think it was in California, where he just made every product on his shelves. I can't remember where the cutoff is, but something like $999. So that basically it would be prosecutable in larceny.
Yes.
And so every product on the shelves is priced that. And then you get a discount when you check out.
Yeah. When you go to the counter,
prosecute everything.
Wow. Yeah. When you get up to the counter, then he gives you the discount. So everything is priced at the level. And if you touch anything, you can go to jail.
Is that working?
Apparently he says it's working. The report, you and I read the same report, and apparently says it's working. So when you get to the counter, you give him the item, he gives you the discount coupon. Like, oh, I'm sorry, it's not $100. It's actually only 10 cents. But thank you for being honest and coming up to the counter to pay for it. Now you don't go to prison.
Okay.
Let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below. This is amazing. We also had a poll up on our community today about should mandatory military service be required for those of you in the United States 18 years old? Should it be mandatory? It was kind of split 50-50 today. We had almost like 60,000 of you voted on it. If you haven't voted on it, go over to our community tab on YouTube and vote. I thought it was very interesting. Maybe, David, maybe after the next story, or you can give us the poll results so we can do that. I'd like to do that. I included it in the newsletter today as well, so we'd like to do that as much as we can. Hook Hulick in the chat on Rumble says, Hulick says, I'm very concerned that Clayton and Natalie are spending at least 25% of their lives in a state of being outraged.
Me too.
You know, I don't...
That's a low percentage.
I think it's a low percentage. I don't know that I feel like I'm in a constant state of outrage. I think I try to, when I see these stories and this news and all of these things that are being ignored by the mainstream media, I try to contextualize it in my brain and make sense of it. And then I try to regurgitate it here on this show and put it in a, and I don't know that I'm sitting there outraged while I'm doing it. I'm scared all the time. I'm scared. I'm processing it, but I appreciate the sentiment though, Hulik, which I know stress causes.
It does really help to talk about it though. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people don't have the opportunity to even have conversations with people because most people, like some of my friends, I can't even talk about this stuff with, cause they're like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, so being able to vent that on a daily basis helps a lot.
Yeah. It's cathartic. Yeah. I agree. I think that is absolutely the case. Yeah.
And for me, I think I spend most of my time just disappointed, like just disappointed in society in general. It's like, it's not outrage. Yeah. It's not fear. It's just disappointment. I'm like, come on. Where's our Star Trek future?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Remnant in our chat over on YouTube says, Remnant Disciple Lazaro says, hey, Redacted, read your super chats. You have a man from Ukraine.
Yes, we did. I saw him. But he said he left Ukraine in 2009.
I have it right here.
Oh, okay.
So Vladek's Musical did leave us a chat saying he's not in Ukraine at the moment. He's watching from the United States. He says, hi, Clayton and Natalie, or she, Vladix. I don't know if that's a he or a she. Says, hi, Clayton and Natalie. I moved from Southeast Ukraine in 2009 to the United States, and I never supported Ukraine. I have family on both sides of the war. I've heard that from a lot. I have friends who are now in Israel, who their family lived in the Donbass. So you've conflicting, like the father supports it, the children don't. It's very, very interesting. So thank you for that. We really appreciate it.
But they must be blocking, because I did not see a single person. And we usually get people from almost every country in the world. Like if you ask where you're from, we'll see everything. I did not see a single person say they were in Ukraine.
Let's see. Let's do a test. How many of you are watching from North Korea tonight? I would love to see if anyone from North Korea is watching. What about Iran? How many of you are able to watch us in Iran tonight? Let me. I'd love to know that as well. Any other ones that would be?
My guess would be Iran would be easier than.
Maybe Iran it would be slightly easier. Canada is actually becoming. Canada is becoming increasingly difficult.
Yeah.
To watch us.
We had viewers in France and Australia say that they were having problems.
On Rumble, you can't watch us on Rumble in France. I know they're blocked there as well. So anyway, all right, we've got more news to get to. In a moment, we are going to talk about this child trafficking story and this child sex trafficking, organ harvesting. It is the worst possible stuff you can imagine, but we need to cover it, and it's very, very important. We're going to be speaking with a whistleblower who worked at one of these child trafficking centers in Texas. So we're going to cover that story and speak with him in just moments about that. It's unbelievable. Plus, we're going to talk about President Kamala Harris, not Vice President. President Kamala Harris. Say it.
And if you refuse to say it, if you don't like that, you're a racist.
You're a racist.
Democrats are saying that anyone who challenges her, anyone who doesn't like the idea of her as a president, is a racist. So we're going to
bring
you that.
And a sexist. Let's say that too.
True.
Sexist or either pick which one.
You could be a misogynist or racist, but definitely one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just let that flow off your tongue, because that's about to happen from now on. All right, but we're going to get to all of that. But first, anyone can find anything on the internet, including your full legal name, all of your information, even your relatives' information. It's pretty remarkable, actually. And really, really stunning, because all of this stuff is out there. Information is accessible because of data brokers who profit by selling your information to robocallers, telemarketers, spammers, anyone else that wants to learn about you. It's sold and they can buy it. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, our friends over at Aura. Now, Aura will identify data brokers that are exposing your information, automatically submit opt-out requests on your behalf. They'll even go opt you out of junk mail and telemarketing lists. And you can use our link at aura.com/redacted to try it for free for 2 weeks to see how many data brokers are sharing your information. So you can try it for free, just for free, and see how much of your information is already out there. And in those 2 weeks, you're going to be stunned at how much stuff they've already found. We'll have a link in the description as well, in case you miss it, or you can scan the QR code right on your screen. That's right here on your screen. You know, it's amazing. Like I said, we had our email hacked, like a couple of years ago. We also had our Facebook account hacked. This was a few years ago. And so now we use Aura, and it's been fantastic. We haven't had any issues. In fact, someone was running a credit report on me, and Aura sent me an alert. And I got an alert. I was like, what's this alert from Aura? And I had a notification that said, someone is running your credit report right now. Did you authorize this? And I was like, what? How do you know this? And sure enough, we had just done a notary for something that we had to do, and they were running our credit report. And so Aura found out about it and instantly notified us to make sure that we were safe. Like, did we want to report it? It was pretty amazing. Anyway, let Aura do the hard work, keeping you safe online. So sign up right now. You'll get a 2-week free trial with our link. You'll be shocked at how much of your private information Aura finds exposed over those 2 weeks. Go to aura.com/redacted to start your free trial. It's also linked in the description, or scan that big QR code right on your screen. Well, the United States is the largest trafficker of children in the world. Children that are illegally kidnapped, brought across the U.S.-Mexico border, are then sold off to mostly wealthy Americans, used as sex slaves, and worse, if you can imagine, worse than that. It's happening, and the corporate media, of course, is largely ignoring the story for whatever reason. They refuse to touch the story, and when they do, they briefly touch it, and then it disappears. You can't find links on their website. It vanishes very mysteriously when they cover these stories. Many of these kids, these children, are kept in hidden concentration camps in the United States. Yes, I said it. Hidden concentration camps in the United States. We showed you one of these facilities a few months ago here on Redacted, a Walmart facility, former Walmart facility in Brownsville, Texas, that is holding hundreds, if not thousands, of children before they are sold off. A whistleblower who worked at one of these facilities, MVM is the name of the facility, has come forward to expose all of this. Carlos Arellano is a former U.S. immigration contractor, and he joins us now. Carlos, welcome to the show, and thank you for coming forward to share your story.
No, thank you for having me. It's like you said, when it comes to child trafficking, there's so much evil behind it that people don't want to touch the story, and if they do touch it, they touch it briefly. And it just goes to show you how much evil there is behind it, that it holds that much power over people, that it's kept in the dark.
And hopefully we can expose this story. We can shine a light on it today. So anyone watching this, hopefully you can share this story out, share it with people who can spread it around to try to put an end to this awful, awful crime against humanity that's happening in the United States and around the world. So, Carlos, before we dive into some more specifics of this, can you just give us, our audience, a background as to what exactly you did working as an immigration contractor and this company? Is it a government company relationship as a U.S. government contractor, or was it separate from the U.S. government?
So the way it works is the U.S. government is washing their hands, keeping their hands clean by going out and handing out massive contracts to organizations that they like to call NGOs, non-government organizations. And these NGOs, they will get contracts for food services, for laundry services, for educational services for them, for the illegal immigrants. Everything under the sun that you can think of, everything that we have to pay for, they will hand out $100 million contracts to give these services for free to the illegal immigrants. And the company that I work for specifically, their job is they hold the largest contract to move children around the United States of America. So my job was to move children from point A to point B. And my job was to pick children up at the border and then move them to their sponsors. I've been to every state that you could name. I've been there. I've been to North Dakota, Vermont, Florida, dropping kids off, all of them, and New York City and Florida, the most popular ones.
So let's get back to the children and the facility we featured here, this former Walmart facility in Brownsville, Texas. You worked there, correct?
So my job was, I did work there, but my job was to take kids out of those facilities and hand them off to sponsors across the country.
So can you walk me through that process? So you're an employee, you get an email? Do you get a text message that says, Carlos, on Tuesday, we need you to take these children to their sponsor family in Florida? And how did that process unfold? Can you explain that?
So, yes, we would get text messages, we would get phone calls, at 7 p.m. at night, 6 p.m. at night, saying, hey, we have a trip out tomorrow. Can you make the trip? I say yes. And later on in the night, I get a report time for the following morning. You get a 5 a.m. report time, 4 a.m. It's always in the dark because they don't want us picking up these kids in the day where people can see us. And I would get a, for example, hey, 4 a.m. And I would not find out where I was going until the following day when I would show up to the charter bus. We would get phones given to us, backpacks given to us. And until we got to the shelter, to the Walmart shelters that you broke on your show, we get files saying, hey, you're going to head off to Orlando, Florida. You're going to head off to Los Angeles. You're going to head off to Nashville, Tennessee. And you're dropping off six kids. And in those files, you get a hard copy of an ID of the sponsor who's waiting for you at the airport in baggage claim. So the handoff is always in baggage claim at these airports. So the hard copy of the ID is the person you want to wait for, and they're supposed to hand you this physical ID to you in person, and you're not supposed to release the kid until you take a picture of the physical ID with the paper copy ID together on a government phone.
And these children, are they, these are illegal immigrant children that are being kept there. Are the parents anywhere around at all?
No parents. No, these are unaccompanied minors. So all the kids you see in the Walmart shelters, they're, no parents are here. No aunts and uncles are with them. They showed up to the border by themselves. So, and it's
with
crazy
coyotes,
because
with coyotes bringing them across, they're right.
Yeah, correct. Because sometimes I would run into kids who tell me, a coyote told me exactly how to get to your shelter, is what they would tell me. They told me how many steps to walk north of here, where to turn. And they told me to, if I run into any Border Patrol agent, to say that I'm a minor, that I'm underage, that I'm going to run into a building, a shelter, a Walmart type of shelter that's going to have food for me, that's going to have laundry services for me. And it would get so suspicious because the kids were being told by the coyotes exactly the way an NGO runs a Walmart shelter. And it gets you thinking, how the hell do coyotes know the system on this side, you know? Because they're supposedly only on the Mexico side, and they're not from the U.S., these coyotes, and they're not government employees. So how do they know what to expect in the shelter? It's insane. And the other insane part is these Walmart shelters also have babies. I've escorted myself. I can personally myself say I picked up a baby that's 5 months old, 8 months old, 4 months old, and escorted them to a sponsor. And how the hell do you realize who a sponsor is for this child when they can't even talk?
So who are, that's awful. The whole thing is awful, but who are these sponsors then? I know some reports are that these are mostly, at least in Florida, from reports I've heard, wealthy Americans who are getting the paying for these children. But first of all, who are these sponsors? Do you when you interact with them, are they? Is there a representative for the sponsors that you're meeting face to face, or is it the sponsor his or herself who is meeting you face to face?
The sponsor is supposed to be meeting me face to face, because their ID is the one that I can only accept. So they're supposed to be at the airport, but a lot of the times it does not happen, And these sponsors are supposedly family members. They can be an aunt or an uncle. They're supposedly a stepmother. They're supposedly a stepfather. They're supposedly a sister or a brother or a cousin. Sometimes they're even family friends. But it's like, how do you prove that this is a family friend? Or how do you prove this is a cousin when you don't even do DNA testing anymore at the border when it comes to the current administration? And how are you? So these people are just calling up and saying, hey, yeah, that's my cousin. And that's it. I'm willing to take him in.
And you as an employee, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you thought you were reuniting families up until you didn't. Like, what was the moment you decided, wait a second, I need to blow the whistle on this. This is not what I thought it was.
So, yes, you get into this type of work because you think you can make a difference. You know, you think it's, oh, it's these kids who are, and they have been through a lot, but you want to help them out and make them smile by buying them a snack at the airport, a toy at the airport, because children are innocent. You know, no matter what, children, they don't know what they're doing, and they should be kept out of issues that are tearing our country apart. So you try to make their day better, but then I started hearing horror stories from my coworkers. My coworkers used to tell me my child that I escorted was crying because they said that they did not know the sponsor that I was taking them to. And they were telling me, please, sir, I don't want to go to the sponsor. I don't know them. They at the campsite where I was, at the Walmart shelter where I was, they told me that I supposedly know the sponsor, that the sponsor is supposedly my uncle or my aunt, but I've never met him. I don't remember. And my coworker would say, but I don't care. I still handed the child off, even though the child was crying, because I wanted to go out and party. And the reason why my coworker says that is because once we had the child off, we're allowed to go have our own thing. You know, if we're in Los Angeles and we hand the children off at the airport, we're allowed to go out into the city because our flight doesn't happen until the next day, our return flight. So the rest of the night we're free. And a lot of my coworkers were 18, 19 years old, 21 years old, taking care of teenagers. And their main worry was, oh, man, I want to go to the bar already. I want to go to a concert that's happening in downtown LA, but the sponsor is taking forever, or this child is crying, and I just want to hand them off. So they would hand the children off, even though they were showing signs of, I don't know the sponsor.
And it's all happening right in front of our eyes, and the United States government is funding it. So these facilities, they're making their money from the United States government. And so if you drive up to this, like one of these Walmart facilities, you'll be met with guards at the gate. Right? I mean, guards that are telling you, you know, you're not allowed to come in here. Then how many kids are we talking about are at these facilities like this, you know, these former Walmart facilities? Are we talking hundreds, thousands?
Well, the Walmart that was shared on your show, I think you guys shared it.
Yeah.
Or you guys talked about it, that's about 1,500 to 2,000 kids. But that's not the only Walmart down here where I live. We have about four or five of them.
And these are former Walmarts, right? So these are giant facilities, former Walmarts that are housing these children. Are they like sleeping in cots and beds? And they're just there waiting to be, is it right for me to say sold off to these people around the country? I mean, that's the best way to describe it, right?
It's the best way to describe it. You're right to say that because what just the way the company admitted in an email to, hey, transportation specialist, you're taking the wrong documents and you're giving kids off to the wrong people. It's an open world of possibilities of what's happening, you know? And God bless Michael and Ann, because Michael and then another gentleman by Ryan Matta from Live Free America TV and Muttracker.com. These are just some independent journalists who've come down here and have been exposing this whole thing. And when they came down here, they were met with aggressiveness. They were met with, we're going to call the police. You can't be here. You can't take pictures. And they have signs like it says media tour. You can request a media tour. But when Michael and Ryan and Anne would request a media tour, they were met with, oh, you have to go on the website. It's not available right now. Go on the website. It's just, if you have nothing to hide, why are you being so aggressive? You know, it's so easy to let a reporter in there, walk around and then leave, you know, and if it's, if it's a good operation, why not do that? You know, and you're met with so much opposition, so much aggressiveness at the front gate that you can't even go into the parking lot for these facilities, these former Walmart facilities.
Thousands of children being kept in these concentration camps in the United States, funded by the federal government, and then children shipped off to quote-unquote sponsors, never to be seen again or heard from again. No confirmation, DNA testing to prove that these people have any connection with the person that they're taking. We've had multiple sources here on our show who say these children are being sold off as sex slaves, being used in sweatshops as slaves, as physical labor slaves, and the most horrible thing of all, which is organ harvesting. And we've heard this multiple times from multiple sources that this is happening in a large capacity in the United States. It's a multi-billion dollar a year industry, and no one's doing anything about it. But you are, for coming forward and sharing your story, Carlos. It's just heartbreaking. We hope that our audience shares this story, calls a local representative, tries to get you into Washington, D.C. to tell your story in front of a congressional hearing. We will do whatever we can here at Redacted to make that happen. And please, you know, anything else we can do, don't be a stranger. Please let us know. Okay, Carlos?
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. It's been a tough road, but thankfully people like Savannah Hernandez, who gave me my first interview, and along the road I've run into people like you, Michael, and Ryan from LFA TV. There's good people still out there trying. So thank you for allowing me to come on your platform and speak on this.
My pleasure. And thank you for your bravery on this. Thank you, Carlos. We appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Thanks, Carlos. So
that's unbelievable.
That's just crazy. And I think that's why people are so, like, when you hear that there are potentially 2,000 kids missing from Lahaina, you know, or Maui or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you hear about, like, the 85,000 unaccounted for children that have crossed the border. Like, this just, like, it just makes me sick to think that all these kids could just, yeah.
Well, and it's covered up, and it's blocked, and it's suppressed, and you're not allowed to talk about it. You know, and yeah, the platforms like this will often block you and ban you from covering it. This should be something that should be front page news. It should be front page news in the New York Times. It should be front page news everywhere, but it's not. It's not being covered. You know, and
no, in fact, anytime there's any stories about child abuse, or, you know, as we saw with the coverage of the movie,
The Sound of Freedom,
you know, that's called crazy think.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you're a liberal, I guess, you're a right wing nut job if you think that this is happening.
Yeah. You would think that the one way to unite people would be children. Like, we should all unite behind children and stand up against this stuff. I mean, I would think that would be the main unifier.
Yeah. Not anymore.
As Rick Whitaker says, organ harvesting, adrenochrome, adrenochrome. Exactly. This is happening. This is a reality. Like, you might not like it. It might sound, it might be incredibly uncomfortable, but it's absolutely happening. So thanks to Carlos for his bravery, and please share this segment out, you know, share that segment out. We'll release a shorter version of that, interview and, later on tonight. So if you want to share it out, you can as well. We'll cut it down so you guys can share it to people that need to see it. All right.
Well, we have more news to get to. We're going to tell you how Kamala Harris is being shoved down our throats as the next candidate for president, ready to step into the job.
Yeah, get ready to say that. President Kamala Harris, what you're going to be. That's
how
what the
do
deep
you
state
feel
wants.
About that? Yeah. Who wants it? Why? What is the narrative? We're going to take a look. But first, it's no secret, if you're tuned in, then you know that experts are predicting a recession heading our way. Layoffs already happening. The government is ready to print more money, further devaluing the U.S. dollar. While last year was terrible for most investors, 2023 could be even worse. That's why you were smart if you invested in Lear Capital. Now, we strongly recommend that you call Lear Capital or go to LearRedacted.com and get a free copy of The Tipping Point. It's a report that helps explain how to protect your savings and retirement with gold and silver. These are currencies that have been time-tested through thousands of years even, much longer than any fiat currency we've got right now. It's only a matter of time until we're forced to use these digital currencies. So you need to get educated quickly to preserve the wealth you already have. For the past few years, we've been moving away from the US dollar and into hard assets like gold and silver and real estate. And we see the writing on the wall. And, you know, of course, we want to protect our assets. So you can consider doing the same by calling Lear Capital. It doesn't hurt to make a phone call. Request their special report, The Tipping Point. It's free information about the dollar, the economy, and what it could mean for your savings and retirement. So make sure you go to LearRedacted.com or call 800-613-3557. This report will open your eyes to what's coming, and we want to thank Kevin and Lear Capital for making this information available to Redacted viewers. So once again, call, get your copy. That's 800-613-3557 or go online right now to LearRedacted.com. You can also click the link that we've showed you below. So thank you for their support of this show. And in fact, speaking of gold, we're going to have Carol Roth on the show tomorrow, author of You Will Own Nothing, author of The War on Small Business, someone who talks about the fiscal irresponsibility of the U.S. government, how it is spreading throughout the West, and what she thinks that you can do. Because as there is a push for you to own nothing, rent your life back, all of those, you know, these things that mean... She says, if you own nothing, they own you. And I like that. So, you know, then you're controllable. They can get you to do whatever it is you want, you know.
Yeah.
Don't be guilty of wrong. Think we're going to take your PayPal. You know, you won't be able to buy yourself any food. So I look forward to that interview tomorrow. And we are going to talk more about hard assets.
And tomorrow we're also going to be covering what's happening with CBDCs and the blowback on it. Actually, a couple of countries are in revolt over CBDCs and central bank digital currencies. But also the United States is moving full steam ahead with CBDCs and central bank digital currencies to make sure that you don't have cash anymore. Cashless society.
She's so they can control everything that about too. That.
So, you know, they're already doing it in Europe, but we're going to cover that in the show tomorrow as well.
Okay. Well, first, we want to tell you about this media push to get ready for President Kamala Harris.
Say it.
This is coming for a few reasons. One, Joe Biden has so few working brain cells left. And two, the establishment doesn't want any other Democratic candidates to get any hot ideas. Just today, the AP ran a big feature with an interview with the vice president. She was very quick to the draw when asked if she's ready to be president. So it basically, Clayton asked me, hey, if something were happening to me, honey, would you be ready to take over the show? Redacted. Just let's role play. This is how this plays out.
I'm asking you.
Ask me. I'm Kamala Harris. You're asking me.
Okay. Yeah. Kamala, or no, I'll say, yeah, if something were to happen to me, would you be able to take over Redacted?
That's how this plays. Yes. So, see if you read it this way. Watch.
Question about the president's age often go hand in hand with questions about how you would step in the role, you know, if necessary. Do you feel prepared for that possibility? And serving as vice president prepared you for that job?
Yes.
And how would you, you know, describe that process?
Well, first of all, I'm answering your hypothetical, but Joe Biden's going to be fine, so that is not going to come to fruition. But let us also understand that every vice president understands that when they take the oath, that they must be very clear about the responsibility they may have to take over the job of being president. I am no different.
Okay, so it does play out like that, right? Ask me again. Are you ready to?
Are you ready to take over Redacted?
But nothing's going to happen to you.
Yeah,
right?
But nothing's going
to
happen to you.
We don't want that.
But you're going to be fine.
We don't want that. Right?
I would never want that to happen. But
any co-host, co-host is ready to take on that role.
That's right.
Right. Anybody would. Everybody.
You know what's amazing? She even managed to, in that just simple response, turn it into a word salad. She could have just said, you know, as anyone who is a vice president takes that oath, knows the responsibility of the office, and they're there every day and they're involved in that. She managed to somehow still turn it into some crazy word salad.
Yeah, but at least we understood it, and she seems to know what planet she's on.
Yeah.
So we'll give her those points.
Yeah. She was like, any vice president, any vice president.
She's like, do you hear me? She's like, do you hear me what I'm saying to you? Any.
Oh, but we don't. But we don't want anything.
Don't make
to
me come over there and
Joe
slap
Biden.
You, Associated Press.
Now they made this whole multi-part feature out of this interview, many headlines, including her saying she supports all the January 6th prosecutions, including of the president, the former President Trump. They made an email campaign about it. They're making a big deal about Kamala Harris. Now, notice at the bottom, they're even telling us certain things about like why she matters. I love that's even a subtitle, like. Why this matters, because otherwise you don't give a crap about Kamala Harris. The polls show that people just don't really think much of her. It becomes art intimidating or life intimidating art, like the Julia Louis-Dreyfus series called Veep, because we're just like, oh, her? Yeah. Okay. What's she up to? They are warming us
Tulsi
up.
Gabbard.
Tulsi Gabbard
ate her lunch. Did you see?
Oh, yeah.
Like, ate her lunch and she just completely, like, what was she, 2% when she was made vice president?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it also says, you know, she's talking tough about Russia at the bottom. Now, this is notable because the media largely ignores her until they want a soundbite about climate change or race. So why is she being dragged into the spotlight now? Could it be because they want to, you know, get out in front of any other Democratic candidates? We're talking to you, Gavin Newsom, or Illinois Governor Pritzker. So what they're saying is now, if those people, those Democratic popular candidates say that they're not racist, well, if they do run against Kamala Harris, they are racist, because you're a white man, you'd be stepping in front of a woman of color. That would be a racist thing to do, to compete on the merits of the job. Here's what Karen Finney, a longtime Democratic strategist, said about anyone wanting to challenge Vice President Kamala Harris to be the front runner for the presidency. When you had people who were trying to test the waters for a presidential bid, the party rose up and made it clear to those individuals, who were mostly white men, that to disrespect the vice president would not be well received by women and people of color within the party. They got a bit of a smack in the face. Now, I don't like the trope of a Karen, but this woman's name is Karen, and that fits the trope. I just have to point that out. Translation, you're not exciting because you're white. Don't even try. Or white male, get out of here. Basically, it's racist if you even step in front of a woman who's in line for the job. She was there first. And look at the headline above that. Can we put that Karen quote again on the screen? The headline that they want me to click says, Democratic elites struggle to get voters as excited about Biden as they are. Who now is excited about Biden? The elites? Well, I'll tell you one elite who likes Joe Biden just the way he is, thank you, and does not want to chance that there will be a Trump in 2024. This guy, George Soros. In an op-ed for Politico, Soros' 37-year-old son, Alex Soros, said this about a possible Trump win. This is his writing. As someone who spends up to half their time working on the continent and thinks former United States, he means Europe, thinks former U.S. President Donald Trump, or at least someone with his isolationist and anti-European policies, will be the Republican nominee, I believe a MAGA-style Republican victory in the next year's U.S. presidential election would, in the end, be worse for the EU than for the US. Such an outcome will imperil European unity and undermine the progress achieved on many fronts in response to the war on Ukraine. So Trump will undermine or imperil European unity, or by European unity, you could also use another word for that, globalism, and their attempts to continue to funnel money through Ukraine for their own benefit.
So let's just be clear about something. The Biden administration literally destroyed the Nord Stream pipeline, the major flow of natural gas into Europe, but specifically into Germany, essentially, in many ways, hampering and destroying a big piece of Germany's economy right now. Just look at businesses shuttering. Look at what's happening in Germany with violence. It's an absolute disaster. So Trump would do worse than Biden?
For Europe?
For Europe? I mean...
Well, he's speaking on behalf of Europe, but really on behalf of European globalists and Soros-related globalists. Because, yeah, I don't see how it'd be worse for the people of Europe. No. But the elites of Europe, yes.
You know, it's... I don't know. I just think about it. If you actually unpack that further, we could... I could go off on a whole tangent about it.
No, don't.
Maybe I will. All right, it's tangent time. No, I thought a big graphic just popped up that said tangent time. No, I'm just thinking about President Trump saying, you know what, maybe we should take care of our own country, drill here. Mm-hmm. Imagine what that would do for us not having to invade other countries and destabilize parts of Africa and try to strong arm European countries into giving us cheap natural gas or sell higher priced natural gas. I mean, all the list of things that the United States could do if it just focused on its own paper, kept its head down and focused on its own paper, which is a lot of what Trump tried to do around, you know, America First policy. Like that, I think in many ways could benefit Europe, but that's a discussion for another day.
Yeah. Or stop bullying Europe into the United States destructionist policies. Yeah. Would also, yeah, I think that could be good for Europe. Right. So, okay. So people in power, right? They have to step up for the Democrats to beat Trump. And, you know, they're having a hard time doing it with this guy. What you're about to see here is President Biden at a medal ceremony for Army Captain Larry Taylor, who's 81. He flew his Cobra into his Cobra helicopter into a firefight to rescue four U.S. troops from near certain death in Vietnam in 1968. The president leaves before the ceremony is over. He doesn't seem to understand. Even that camera woman is like,
why is he leaving?
Where is he going?
During a Medal of Honor ceremony.
Look at this veteran here. He's like, okay, I'll just stand here. Thank you. He definitely.
Well, and also at the beginning, Biden was wearing a mask and his wife just got tested positive for COVID. And now he's touching a 94-year-old man with no mask.
He's 81. Know, yes.
Yeah. 81. Right. Oh, I thought he was old.
Yeah. The masking is
like he's all kinds
truly,
of confused.
Yes, he's confused. We agree on this. I don't think anyone...
He should not be president of the United States. I mean, actually, he should be because he's a perfect meat puppet for the deep state to just prop him up and funnel him out there like some sort of a bag of...
He should be president of his own garage. I mean, the guy is like... He should be at home retiring.
Yeah, it's sickening what they're doing to him now. They're just using him as a puppet. Yeah.
Well, speaking of politicians who are showing us how not to age gracefully, I want to bring this up. Mitch McConnell apparently did not have a stroke when he froze up for the second time in front of the press a few weeks ago. Here is that incident when he was asked about running for re-election in 2026.
I had a hard time hearing you.
That's okay. What are your thoughts on running for re-election in 2026?
What are my thoughts about what?
Running for re-election in 2026.
Oh, that's
Did you hear the question, Senator? Running for re-election in 2026?
Yes.
All right, I'm sorry, you all. We're going to need a minute.
Leave Turtle Boy alone.
Penny. Yep.
I actually watched a neurologist break this down last night, and she was talking about how the eyes and the lips... how he minces his lips and then his eyes kind of go up and look like they just like stare off. She said that is definitely a sign of a stroke.
Okay. Well, that's what his doctor said did not happen. Clearly it's so ironic that the question was, what do you think you'll do? Will you run in 2026? That's 3 years from now. And this guy is freezing up like a hard drive. Right. And so it's, clearly, he's not fit to run in 2026. I can project into the future, and I'm pretty sure that's a sure thing. Here is a letter from his attending physician saying, hey, I just want to let you all know I examined him after this episode, and you know, there's no evidence that you had a seizure or you experienced a stroke, a TIA, or movement disorder such as Parkinson's disease. You don't have any of those, so you just... as you were. That's a very weird letter. It reminds me of the sort of superfluous letters that we got from President Trump's doctors saying he was the healthiest person of all time. You know,
why the incessant need to convince us that these people are in good health? Like, why do they feel like they have to just basically tell us, oh, no, they're like in their 80s, 90s, but they're just fine. They're running the country just fine. They're making good decisions.
Yeah. I mean, apparently Dianne Feinstein is so out of it that she's given power of attorney to her kids. Her staff is severely limiting the amount of public exposure she's got. And it's just carry on, you know. But if we ask chief liar Karine Jean-Pierre if the president is with it, she's like, he's great. He works really hard. He's there every day. He's got the stamina. Same thing with Kamala Harris. She says she sees him every day. We see each other every day at the office. I'm pretty sure that's not true. If I went back through their schedules,
that they wouldn't
cross that much. But okay, she says that. And I just have a hunch that if I were to cross-check their schedules, that they wouldn't be like, we see each other in the office every day. But, you know, it just shows us no wonder that the Democrats want to dust off Kamala Harris, because at least she knows what planet she's on.
And physical doesn't really carry over to cognitive. Like, he could be physically active, able to walk, able to ride bike and all the other stuff. That has nothing to do with his cognition. Like,
sure.
It's completely two different things.
Yeah. And we could vote for someone who is not physical, but cognitive. And we probably would be more happy with
Stephen
that. But
Hawking.
That's not what we got. Yeah. Which president was in a wheelchair? Roosevelt.
Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Roosevelt. This is why I argue, like, people are always talking about term limits, but in my opinion, term limits would just make us lazy voters, because it's like, we'll just vote him in. And we'll get him out in like 6 years. No big deal. And it'd be this constant election cycle. But I could get behind age limits, because I don't think that we should have people, you know, I think it should be like 65 years old. We shouldn't have people in there running this country that have no idea even where they are or what they're doing. Like, let them enjoy their golden years and go off and just disappear into the sunset, and let people who, you know, really care and understand and want to take care of this country run it.
But I don't think that age is a cutoff. It has to be some kind of ability, right? Because I intend to age perfectly. Mm-hmm. And keep my wits about me. Like, I think that there's a lot of seniors who are that age who are with it. Clayton's mom is in her 70s, and you can run her all over the place. She's smart as a whip. She's still with it. You know, like, she absolutely could hold an office. She's a CEO of a company, and she does just fine.
So that's good news for me.
Yeah, it literally has nothing to do. It has to do with the person, and these persons are slugs.
Yeah, if I ever get like that.
I agree with that, but they do put limits on, you know, like age in other places, you know. But so something that doesn't allow them to get to where they're in their decline, because we are, no matter what, at that age, we are going to eventually start declining.
Yeah.
When I'm, you know, in my 80s and doing this show, if I have a moment like that. If I have a moment like that where you ask me a question,
I will take over.
Can't hear you. Election 2026, and I just stare off into the.
I'll be like this. I've been waiting 80 years for this. I'll just scoot into the center.
Philip Gomain
push
camp.
Him to the side.
Yeah. I'll just be like,
Philip, go close. Cam. There you go.
Yeah.
Close up. There we go. Clayton.
This is what'll happen.
If you're gonna
do that again, leave
year.
His camera on. Just leave his camera up where you go like this. Okay, everybody. He's out here.
Just push him out of the way.
That's basically
push me in my wheelchair
plan.
Out of the way.
Are your chairs on wheels?
Perfect. I've been waiting for this. This is my moment.
All right. That's going to do it for Redacted on this, Wednesday? Thank you guys so much for subscribing to the show. We really appreciate it. Just hit that subscribe button. If you're not already subscribed, hit that like button as well. It really helps us. And please share the show with anyone in your family who is, stuck watching CNN or watching corporate media, and share it on Facebook, share it out to social media, because that's how people are able to find the show. And we hear from people all the time that say, I would have never found this show if it wasn't for my uncle that sent it to me. And so please just share it with somebody that maybe could use some enlightenment or, non-sheep think in the world. And
okay,
just kind of open their eyes. So we'll be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time, everyone. 4 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you guys for subscribing. Have a great night, everyone.